continue briefly in prayer. Let's pray. Indeed, our Father, we pray that thou art to be pleased to send thy Spirit, Lord, from thyself and from thy Son. Come, Lord, and quicken any, Father, who remain here dead in trespasses and sins. Grant them an interest in Christ, we pray. Apply the precious blood to their souls. Sprinkle it upon, Lord, bad consciences, we pray, that they might be washed from all their sins, made right before thee. They might turn to thee and believe in thy Son, Jesus Christ, and receive the Spirit of adoption whereby they may cry, Abba, Father. Pray, Lord, for thy people here, Lord. We pray that thou be pleased to send him, shed him abroad mightily in our hearts. We might know something more of the height and the depth and the breadth of thy love toward us, and that we might have the assurance of salvation and the assurance, Lord, that we are thy children and thou art our loving heavenly Father. Come, Lord, melt our hearts, and that, Father, that we might be sweetly taken up with the theme of thyself and what thou hast done for us in Jesus Christ. Hear us, our Father, and help us now, and grant to us the anointing of the Spirit, and lead us to Christ, point us to him, what great things he has done for us. For we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, our text for this evening's sermon is Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. And I've read from Proverbs chapter 3 and Hebrews 12. Related to this verse here, to something in this verse, but I want us to take as our text this one in Romans chapter 8. So my apologies if you're having to flick back from Hebrews or flick ahead from Proverbs. This verse reads as follows. We're looking at adoption tonight. One of the blessings of adoption is that we come into this relationship with God as our Father, we become his children. And one of the blessings and privileges of adoption is his chastising us as his children. That's what comes up in Proverbs and Hebrews 12. But it comes up here, Paul wrote to the Romans, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You, I, and believers have this cry in their hearts, Abba, Father. God, you are my loving heavenly Father. So that's our text. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So, dear friends, our text tonight is that one, Romans 8 and verse 15. Here, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Roman Christians, the Roman believers, the Roman church, about adoption. A number of other things there in that verse, but I suppose the chief thing, the outstanding thing, is his teaching here about the theme or the subject of adoption, or the experience indeed, and the grace of adoption. And so that we may differentiate and distinguish it from any other adoption that we might think of, especially the one we might immediately think of as somebody being adopted into somebody's family, natural adoption, legal adoption, bringing a child into your family. We may call this adoption a spiritual adoption. This is Christian adoption. This is God adopting people, souls into his family, the family of the household of faith. Paul's writing there about that, spiritual adoption. You've not received as God's people, God's children, you not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, not a sense of terror upon you. God is your judge, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we have this inner cry in the depths of our souls of Abba, Father, our Father. Now, when Paul mentions there about adoption, spiritual adoption, adoption in a Christian sense, what he means is God's act. It's an act of God. Adoption is an act of God whereby he makes his people, he makes converted believers in the Lord Jesus Christ members of his family. What a privilege that is. You might think it's a privilege to belong to your particular family, your particular clan, depending on where you come from. Think what it is to become a Christian, to believe in Christ, to have him as your kinsman redeemer, to have God as your father, and everybody who's a Christian to be a brother and sister in Christ, to be members of that family, the family of God, the family, the household of faith. Well, that is what God does in adoption. It is his act, because God always takes the initiative, is his act whereby he makes his people, he makes those who are truly converted, those who truly become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, members, and it's not a temporary membership, it's an eternal membership, members of his family, as I say, the family, the household of faith. Well, my dear friend, have you been adopted? It might be that you're somebody who sometime in the past has been naturally adopted into somebody's family. But this is a far more important adoption. That's a lovely adoption. That's a wonderful adoption, to be brought into a family, a loving family. But have you been brought into God's family? Have you been spiritually adopted? Have you been made a member of God's family? God's family. In other words, I'm asking, are you a converted believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you are, this is something that has happened to you. This is something that you will be. This is something that you will be a member of. And if this is not something yet happened to you, you have yet to come into the privilege of this membership. We always want to be members of kind of one thing or another, but this is the great institution. This is the great thing that you want to be a member of, a member of God's family. If you're not already, perhaps in God's kindness and grace and love, he might grant you repentance and faith tonight, that you might come into this position, come into this status and situation through his grace. And if you are, you might rejoice in it tonight as you hear about these things again. Well, what does Romans and other teaching in Scripture tell us about adoption? Well, I want to look at four things tonight. The first thing is, just as I did this morning with the new heaven and new earth, first of all, we need to see the scriptural evidence for it. Let's see the proof of this in God's word. I'll just give you a few proof texts for it. Secondly, we also need to see its place or position in salvation, where it comes in salvation, in what some call the order of salvation. Where does this come? Where does this come? Thirdly, we need to see that this is something that is distinctive, and this is something particular to other things in the order of salvation. It is different to regeneration. It is different from our justification that we've been looking at recently. It is something particular, peculiar, and special, unique for the people of God. Then fourthly, let's come on, dear friends, to the great blessings and the benefits and the privileges of this for the people of God, for saints, for those who are converted, for those who do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What are the blessings of adoption, both now and also in the future? Well, first of all, let's have some proof texts from God's word. First of all, I could mention John 1:12 here, but I'm going to quote that a little bit later on, so I'm going to pass over that for now. But going further on in John 20 and verse 17, and this is our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to Mary Magdalene. He says to her, "Touch me not." This is after his resurrection. "Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, go to my disciples, go to the apostles, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father." But notice, because they were believers, "to your Father, your Father." And he's making a distinction between himself and them, and the sense in which God is his Father and is theirs, but he's calling them both, God being both their Father. "And to my God and your God." The Lord Jesus Christ, in a sense, he is his people's older brother in God's family. But we have to realize that God is his Father in a unique and a special and a more eternal eternity past, and in a greater sense. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is God's only begotten and beloved Son, his Son from eternity to eternity. We are God's children. through salvation and through being adopted into his family. But it's surely there, isn't it, in John chapter 20 and verse 17, what the Lord Jesus Christ said to Mary? Is it not also in Romans? Is it not only the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, the teaching of the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ? Romans 8, 14 to 17, Paul said to the Romans, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, what are they? The Spirit of God is in them. The Spirit of God directs and leads and guides them in their lives. What are they? They are the sons of God. They are the children of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, which we started with, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, or himself, bears witness with our spirit." Christianity is experiential, it is experimental. It's not only that we seek to understand these things, we experience this. We not only see the evidence in Scripture, we see the evidence in our lives. He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, that we have this inward witness that God is our Father. He's our Father, and we're his children. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I'm also going to pass over. I could take you to Galatians chapter 3 and verses 23 to 26, but I'm going to quote that in a moment. But there again, you'll see that it's taught there. But also in Galatians, later on in Galatians 4, in these famous verses 4 to 7, Paul said to the Galatian believers, the Galatian church, these great words, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God the Father, sent him into this world, sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made of Mary, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that why? That we might receive the adoption of sons. We may not only be regenerated and born again, not only repent and believe, not only be justified in the sight of God by faith in Jesus Christ, but that we might also receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, or because ye are daughters, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, you're no more a slave, since we are still bondservants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also need to realize the privilege of our adoption, that we are children. We are the children of God, sons and daughters of God, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Then finally, fourthly and finally, taught by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, taught by his apostle, the apostle Paul, and also by that beloved apostle John, 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. John there says, "Behold, look at this, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." It didn't know Christ, it's not going to know us either. It despised us, it despised him. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We should be called the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God, and then we shall obviously be seen to be the children of God when returns. We know it now, our brothers and sisters know, and all the world will know then. They shall see him as he is, and they'll see us also as we are, glorified spirits one day in heaven. So there are some of the references in Scripture that teaches about spiritual adoption into the family of God, into God's the family of the household of faith. Some of the proof texts. My dear friend, are you persuaded by them? Are you convinced by them, not only in your head, intellectually and academically, in a scholarly way, seeing these things here, seeing that there is such a thing, but are you persuaded of them in your heart? The most important thing, isn't it? Are you persuaded in head and heart by the proof of adoption? You not only see it in Scripture, you also see it in your experience. You not only see it in God's Word, you see this in your soul, in your experience. Different from this morning, isn't it? We're looking this morning at the new heaven and the new earth. And we can see that it's in Scripture that it's going to happen, because it's there, prophesied of in Isaiah, prophesied of in the Apostle, in Peter's epistle, prophesied elsewhere as well, in the book of Revelation. But we don't have further evidence, do we, of it, except in God's word. But this we do, this we can. And if we're Christians, we will. We not only see it in God's word and believe it, we also see it in our own lives. It's been worked out, played out in our lives. We have become the children, the people, the sons and the daughters of God. So my dear friend, is this something that you're persuaded by? You're persuaded by and convinced by the proof of adoption in Scripture? You know there's such a thing, and it is something that has happened to you, that God has done in you, his act, making you a member of his family. You know it because you've been born again. You know it because you've been converted. You've believed in Christ. And God, according to the promise, according to his word, and perhaps by experience in your life, he's shown you, I am your Father. I'm your loving Heavenly Father. And you are my child. And you have nothing to fear. You will always have this relationship. You're my child in a double sense. I'm your Father in a double sense. Not in the sense that I've created and made you and I sustain you, but also I have saved you and redeemed you. I'm your Father in that sense. Not just the Father of the spirits of all flesh, but the Father of his people, of his children, his spiritual children. Well, secondly, we need to see not only this in Scripture, and see the proof of it there, the evidence of it there, but also where it's placed in the order of salvation. Our God is a God of order. And that is why in his house everything needs to be done decently and in order. And he does things in an orderly way. And he applies salvation in an orderly way. And where does this come in salvation as far as we're concerned and in terms of our experience and our subjective feelings, if you like? Well, I tell you where it comes. It is something that follows conversion. We were looking at conversion just a little while ago, weren't we? It follows repentance, the repentance of our sins, and it follows saving faith. And it's an outcome of, or response to, saving faith or to trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be, doesn't it? Because how can we know this is going to happen to us before we're converted? And before we're converted, we don't know we're the children of God. What we do know is we're the children of the God of this world, the children of wrath, the children of the devil, the children of the devil. And it's not something we really find out about in regeneration and in the new birth, because that is something that happens in the depths of our souls, and it is something that we're not really conscious of. But this is something that we realize when we're converted and when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the promise of God, if you believe on my Son, I'll not only give you eternal life, I'll bring you into my kingdom, I'll bring you into my family. And also, God can make us, as I say, feel this and know this in our experience. When we're converted, when we believe in Christ, he's sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. He can send it in such a way with the assurance of salvation and the assurance of our sonship and of our being the children of God. So it comes, it follows conversion, follows repentance, saving faith, as an outcome, a response to saving faith or trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Lord and Saviour. It has to happen like that, doesn't it? That's when we become conscious of God doing such a thing, bringing us into such a relationship with himself. We don't know it before our being converted, but after our being converted we do, and hopefully increasingly so. Might kind of lack assurance of these things in our Christian lives, but trust, we might have an inkling of these things. And even if we go through our lives with very little assurance of salvation and this relationship that we have with him, one day you are going to know. One day you will know. And you will know it throughout all eternity. Well, again, if we turn to the Scriptures, John 1:12 shows this, where John says, "But as many as received him," as many as receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and we receive him by not rejecting, by accepting, by believing upon him, to them gave he the power, gave he the privilege, gave the right to become the sons of God. That's God's promise. gave them the right to, when they believe in him, in Christ, even to them that believe on his name. That's one of the verses I was going to quote earlier on, but here's the other one, Galatians 3 and verses 23 to 26. Paul says to the Galatians, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Listen to what he says. For you Galatians, are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. This is how it's come. This is how this blessing has come, through your believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And any subjective realization of this comes as a result of being converted and trusting in Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in our souls. Well, my dear friend, we've seen the place of adoption then in the order of salvation, coming after conversion as a result of believing in Christ. Do you see, do you understand its place? Do you see the logic, God's logic here, and God's wisdom in this? When this happens to us, can happen before this, has to really happen afterwards, after we have believed along with everything else. This is a blessing that comes through believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. Do you perceive the place or the position of adoption in salvation? But not only that, my dear friends, do you not only see it as you have it in Scripture, in John 1 and in Galatians 3, has God worked it out like this in your experience? Do you know not only the order of salvation as you know it from God's Word, and perhaps books on God's Word, but because it has been played out in your life? You know the power of God's salvation. You see the result of the new birth, the regeneration in your life. It is issued in conversion. It's issued in your repentance, godly sorrow for your sins, turning to Christ, believing on him as your Lord and Saviour, dying for your sins upon the cross, believing he's risen again the third day, he's ascended, he's coming back again, believing in him. And because you believed in him, God has blessed you with this remarkable and outstanding blessing, made you one of his children. That's really conveyed and communicated this to you by his Spirit to your spirit. Experience this. Often say in Christianity, something must not only be known but felt. You felt this, not only something that you understand in your head, but something that's been played out through grace in your heart, in your soul. So you see the place of it in salvation. You also see that it is something that is kind of stands out in the order of salvation as well. It is something that is particular in it, something that is distinctive and not to be confused with certain other things. So what is its particularity in the order of salvation? Well, it's this, that although it's a privilege that comes at the same time, at the time when somebody becomes a Christian and is converted, it is something that is distinctive from our new birth experience or being regenerated, in which someone is made spiritually alive in their souls, been dead in trespasses and sins, been alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And why is that? Because it's possible that God could have and does have creatures in his creation who are spiritually alive and yet are not members of his family, don't have this privilege, and don't share the eternal, the excellent, the great, the many, the special privileges of adopted family members. We say, who do you point to? Think of the angels. They are spiritually alive. They have great spiritual life and power and might. Yet, my dear friends, they don't have this great privilege. They have a special relationship with God. And in some scriptures, they are called the sons of God, aren't they? But we have a special relationship with God. He is our Father in creation and in redemption. We are his children. This is something wonderful he's done to us, even in which the angels do not share. So it's distinctive from regeneration. It's also distinct from our justification by faith. Again, because God could have given his people justification by faith. He could have given us the forgiveness of our sins and a right legal standing before him, and we could be under no condemnation and not guilty before him. And a right legal standing before him and his law without making them his children, giving them the privileges of adoption into his family. See what God has done, my dear friend. If you're a Christian, God has done exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever think. He's not only granted you the new birth, he's not only justified you by faith, but he's done something more than that. He's added to that. God is a God who is so generous. He gives and gives and gives again. This is something distinctive to these things. He's done those things. But he's also done this. He could have done these things without this. But he's done these and this. He's brought you into a very special relationship. We kind of talk about Britain and America. Special relationship. He's brought you into a special relationship with himself. So adoption has to do with our relationship with God as our Father, who, my dear friend, was under no obligation to give us any of the privileges of this. He could have regenerated us, he could have justified us without this, but this, he did this also. Well, my dear friend, do you also see this? The distinctiveness of this, the particularity of this, and the privilege of this. Dear friends, just the privilege of having God's Spirit within us, the privilege of being right in the sight of God, having our sins forgiven, being made right in the sight of God, Christ's righteousness imputed to us. On top of these things, the privilege of being the children of God, being able to call God our God and our Father, and being his children according to his everlasting, the blessings of his everlasting covenant. Do you see this? The privilege of your position tonight if you're a Christian. Oh, my dear friends, woe to you if you're not a Christian. You don't have any of these things. And worse, you're going to be punished for your sins throughout all eternity in hell. But if you repent and believe in Christ, what he's done for you in his life and his death, you will receive all of this. Justification. Union with God. Union with his Son. And become a child of God. Child of God and in Christ. With all its privileges. What are they? To finish with, what are some of the privileges of adoption? Well, they are, first of all, in the way in which God relates to his people, to his children, to his saints, to those who believe on his name, in his Son, Jesus Christ. What are the ways in which he relates to them? Well, first of all, by his being a good and a loving and an understanding heavenly Father to them. You think how, you know, how understanding and loving and good you are to your children, your earthly children, and your evil. Well, think how much more good, loving, and understanding your Father is to you. One that you're able to pray to at any time, turn to at any time, broach anything with him. He understands. Pray to him through Jesus Christ, who takes care of all your needs, giving you many good gifts. We give our children gifts. God heaps good gifts upon us, which won't spoil us, but will help us to glorify him and do us good spiritually, including the gift of the Spirit in this life to comfort and empower us for living the Christian life and for Christian ministry. And in the next, the gift of a great and an eternal, heavenly, incorruptible, undefiled, unfading, and reserved inheritance, because we become heirs of him and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the great blessing of adoption, to have God as your Father and to be his child, and for this God to be your God forever and forever, he being your guide even unto death. Well, that's the second thing, actually. He not only be a loving heavenly Father to you, also he will direct you and guide you or lead you by his Spirit, putting or working in you desires to obey him and live in accordance with his ways, with his will, and with his word. Paul says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's a privilege of adoption. God will guide you. He'll lead you. He'll direct you into the truth. He'll guide you through your life to glory, till you dwell in his house forever. But then also a privilege of adoption is this. A privilege and a blessing of being a child is to be praised when you do well, and also to be punished, but in a loving way, by your earthly father if you do not do well. And a privilege of adoption is God's chastising and disciplining us, rebuking us, spiritually scourging us when we do wrong. It's not very pleasant when it's happening, as any punishment isn't, but it does us good. And it's not as though with earthly fathers sometimes they can, or earthly mothers, they can, some cruelty can sometimes come into it. Being too particular, too fussy, too pernickety, the punishment's either not enough, or the punishment's too much, or so on. God will do it at the right time, in the right way, to the right degree, to the right end. Paul, the author to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 5 to 7 and 10, said these words, quoting in it Proverbs 3:11-12. You've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loves. If you're going through a season or a period of chastening and rebuke and scourging, praise God for it. Kiss the rod. He's doing it because he loves you, and he wants the best for you, and he wants you to be your best. He won't permit you to be worldly. He won't permit you to be ungodly. He won't permit you to be willful and disobedient and to be sinful in your life. He wants you to be holy as he is holy. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourge every son whom he receives. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. But what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, we might be partakers of his holiness. Oh, my dear friends, that we might be quick to learn the lessons of God's chastising. Hopefully as parents, we want to get over that when our children are young, especially physical chastisement and punishment and discipline. And perhaps this is something we need God to have a heavy hand upon us when we're young Christians. But hopefully it's something that we grow out of. We learn to be obedient to him. And we won't need this. We won't need his chastisements and discipline and punishment and rebuke and spiritual scourging, because we'll walk with him and do his will, walk in his ways and obey his word. Also, we have it in his giving to them the privilege of sharing both in Christ's sufferings in this life. That's a privilege of adoption, my dear friend, the fellowship of Christ's sufferings and sharing in his subsequent glory in the life to come. Romans 8 and verse 17, if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we might also be glorified together. So, the privileges of adoption in the way in which God relates to us, and secondly, quickly, in the way in which we relate to each other as brothers and sisters in his family. How are we to relate to one another? My dear friends, we're to relate deeply with one another, intimately, purely, lovingly. We're to love one another. Natural children should love one another naturally. Spiritual children should love one another spiritually, with God's love in their hearts. Love one another. We should encourage one another, help one another, be thankful for each other, and not be competitive. So one of the great traits in families, isn't it, amongst children? Competing with one another. But we should not be compete, not in a wrong sense, competing with one another. One-upmanship, that's pride. We should be encouraging one another, helping strengthening one another's hands, that we might make straight paths for our feet. We should be joyful with each other in worship and in service, and our relationship should be blameless, holy, innocent, pure, and righteous. That's how we should relate to each other as brothers and sisters in God's family. Are you a partaker? Do you share these things? Do you share in these and many other privileges of adoption in God's salvation, in what he's done for you? Are these yours? Have you experienced them? And if you haven't, what does that say about you, about your profession? Is it a real one? You've been soundly converted. If you are, this will be true of you. You'll receive these things, you'll partake of these things, you'll experience them on a daily basis. Your relationship with God and your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. So adoption, spiritual adoption, has its proof in Scripture. It's rooted, embedded in Scripture. It has its own place in the order of salvation, its proper place, and a place in our experience too, I trust, through God's grace. It is distinctive and particular in salvation. And finally, it has its great privileges for all the people of God. If we're Christians, we all have this, we all share in this, and we all, in some measure, have received the blessings of it. But there's far more to come in the future and throughout all eternity. My dear friends, now people can't really see, we can't really see what we are fully yet. One day we'll really see how much we are God's children. He is our Father, when we're greatly changed and we're before Him glorified forever. Well, may God hasten that day for His name's sake. Amen.